Legal disclaimer. Stamp Show here today, its affiliates and organizations are not responsible for any maiming, dismemberment, or physical injury from listening to this podcast. It is suggested that all listeners wear proper head protection and fasten all seat belts. Discontinue use if rash develops. Ask your physician if Stamp Show Here Today is right for you.
Live from the Stamp Show Here Today infotainment complex, this is the award-winning Stamp Show Here Today. If you can dream it, we can collect it. Brought to you by the Southern Nevada Philatelic Research Center, a nonprofit 501c3 corporation for the advancement of philately. You can support this witless tosh by joining the Stamp Show Here Today community. The cost is only $10 for a lifetime membership. We are an APS-affiliated club. Listen to the end credits for information on joining. This is Cash.
This is Mark.
And this is Sean.
And we just filled up with gas. And first of all, gas prices are high. Yep. But we saw one of the self-driving cars. And picture the middle of a bus. Okay, so you chop off the front, chop off the back. And then you put four wheels on it. That was driving down the road. It was very, very interesting. I mean, it is, it's like SUV size, but it's all open. So you could like walk inside and it's like a bus. It was a very interesting car.
And there was cameras all over the sides of it.
Yeah, four cameras on each camera on each corner, and then like sensors. You could see all the sensors. Very, very cool item. Anyway, so we saw that. Well, why don't we start with you, Mark? What crossed your desk?
Well, a couple things. One is that I got a message from a customer on HipStamp. And he was curious as to why I was charging so much money for a Scott number 627. It was graded 98J, never hinged. And I think I had a price of about $250 on it. And he says, why do you charge so much money for this stamp? Because catalog value is only $4. And I explained, well, here's the thing. This is a stamp that was issued in, what, 1927, I think?
Yeah.
Or 1926. And it was, so almost 100 years ago. And you figure for the last 100 years, collectors have been striving to find the finest examples to put in their collections. And over the past, how many years has it been since we started grading?
PSE started in 1997, technically.
Right. So a couple of decades of grading. You got to figure that the people who made their collections based on centering and getting the finest copies, they'd get their stamps graded, you know, to make sure they had the best of the best. And so after decades of grading and 100 years of searching for the best copies around, there are only 13 examples graded 98J and only 9 examples that grade higher at 100. There are no examples that grade 100J. So you're looking at 22 stamps out of 307 million that were printed. And so this is the top 22. This is among the top 22 stamps. So really, at $250, you know, that's kind of a bargain, you know, to be in the strata where, you know, there's only a few known. And how many can possibly still be found? Because you got to figure that all the people that collected based on centering have gotten their grades.
Well, there are still some out there to be found, but given that given that you can sell a $4 stamp for $250, there's a lot of people searching. It's sort of like mining Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin mining started off just, you know, a dude go out there, you know, fire up your computer and try to do it. And today you have to have a massive computer farm to mine Bitcoin because all the easy ones have been found.
Right.
Now, are more Bitcoin going to be found? Yes. Is it going to be a flood? Not even close.
Right. So so that was one thing. The second thing that crossed my desk was, as you know, I was at the St. Louis Stamp Show, and a fan of the of PSE Tony W. Shout out to Tony W. Came by and he brought Scott and I copies of certificates from, or actual stamps certificates from the APS that were Perf 10 or Perf 12 coils that were deemed fake by the APS. So I looked them over, and while I agreed with the APS on every single one of them, it was interesting to me that the conclusions that they drew were different from the conclusions that I drew. They basically said that that all four of them were faked imperforate and reperforated stamps. So all started out as imperforate, but two of the stamps clearly had real perfs. But when you looked at the edges, you could see that one edge was trimmed. There was a natural straight edge on one side, and the other edge is trimmed. And the way you can tell that very easily is that, for one, the trimming on the one end was uneven, and for the other thing is that the difference in the edges was very clear. On the side that had the natural straight edge, there was a sort of a roughness you'd kind of expect to see from the, you know, from the blades at the, you know,
from 100 years,
yeah,
of
from
wear.
100 years ago. Yeah, there was a sort of a patina that kind of sticks with that edge, whereas the opposite edge was a very cleanly cut, like with a pair of scissors, and there was no patina. It was very clean and white. So I was that was kind of curious to me that even though I think they were right, that they had a very different conclusion as to what, you know, how or why it was wrong.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's like the stamp is fake. How hard are you going to whip this dead horse?
Right, right. Yeah, that could be as well, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, they should have called it, you know, trimmed as opposed to an imperf. But
right.
It also makes a huge difference is what you call the stamp. So, you know, if you call it a 343 and it's actually something else, you know, you're actually calling the wrong stamp.
Because right.
On the certificate, you say what the stamp is and then say perf's trimmed off.
Right.
Well, if you're saying perf's trimmed off, then it's a perforated stamp that's been altered. And if it's an imperf stamp, it's got a different Scott number.
Right. Yeah, and they identified it as the imperf with fake perforations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting.
So, Sean, what crossed your desk?
So I've been trying to put stuff up on eBay, but I don't – well, to put stuff up on eBay, you can either just use the eBay, but that sucks. So you get this thing called 6-bit, and
– well, why does it suck?
Because it takes, like, forever.
Because, Mark, you don't use it.
I do use eBay.
Yeah, eBay direct, right?
But the thing is that because I've got such a huge inventory of stamps, I often take a stamp that it's already listed, and then I just do a sell similar. And yeah. So I don't have to retype a lot of stuff.
But 6-bit's easier and better.
Yeah.
It's software for selling stuff. And so I need to get a store because for the – my dad has it, but he has a certain version that you get 5 extra stores. So I need to smooch off of him one store.
Yes.
And but it just makes selling so much easier. So I guess really what hasn't crossed my desk, because I need to put all my stuff up on 6-bit.
Yeah, 6-bit for those who sell on eBay. The advantage, first of all, the drawback. Okay, the drawback is it's $40 a month. So that's the drawback. The advantage is that it has a picture editor, which you can edit pictures and other stuff, but it's got it built into the listing. And it has an inventory system where the numbers do not change. And for people who sell on eBay, you'll know what I'm talking about. But say you list a stamp. And eBay will put a number on it, and it's like a 10-digit number. And it's difficult to follow. But the other thing is, once you list it, it's there forever. You know, if you relist it, if you re-enter it, then it gets a different number. And then you have to re-inventory it. Just FYI, I just pulled down, and those of you who buy on eBay, buy from me on eBay, and I know there's quite a few of you out there. I take all my stuff down a couple times a year and then put it back up again. So I have like 10,000 lots. If I took down 10,000 lots, I'd have 10,000 new 10-digit numbers that I'd have to write on everything. Right. It would be impossible to do. On 6-bit, though, I closed it all out on the 28th, and I'm putting it up today and tomorrow again because it takes a while to enter 10,000 lots. Just even though you're just hitting a button, it takes a while because, you know, everything has to be uploaded. But then everything appears as new. And my sales, when I put stuff up, all of a sudden everybody goes, oh, my God, this thing just went up. I better buy it. And they don't realize that actually that thing has been up for the last 2 years.
Right.
But you get a lot of attention when you pull it down and put it back up again.
Yeah. Another poor thing about eBay is that they don't keep the items live after 3 months.
Yeah.
So if you sold a stamp and then 3 months later you find another stamp the same kind, you know, like it's a revenue stamp or something like that you don't come across that often, and you think, oh, I sold one of those, I'll just use the template from the one that I did before. Well, after 3 months, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can't look it up anymore. Versus in 6-bit, I guess you can.
Yeah, your inventory drops. Literally, your inventory drops on that item to zero.
Mm-hmm.
You get a new one. You put the inventory up to one,
right?
And then you list it. Yeah,
right. And by the way, Hipstamp does keep the history.
Yeah.
So stuff that I've sold years ago on Hipstamp, I can still find. So shout out to Hipstamp for.
Oh, that. I'm doing Hipstamp too. As a matter of fact, the postal notes PN 1 to 12, the little black stamps with the numbers.
Or 118, I think.
Or 118.
Yeah.
Sean just sold 12 of them. They had been, he put them up for $1. They cataloged like $1.95 or something like that. They had been up forever, never sold one. And then all of a sudden he sells 12. He's got 200 sets, I think.
Too many.
Too many. So, but again, I don't think you paid much for them either.
Nothing. Well, they're basically free now because the box I got them from is already paid off.
Yep.
So these are sets of the full 18?
Yep.
Yeah, well.
They've just been sitting.
Yeah.
200 sets of them.
Yeah, well, they're kind of popular because, you know, you can, they exist on older Scott pages.
I think they exist on new Scott pages, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if there's a picture in the book, there's demand.
Right.
Yep. So keeping on the eBay theme, I got a very interesting email, and I thought this was just as cool as could be. I bought something. What did I buy? I forget what I bought. I know what I bought. I'm a fan of Fallout. I play Fallout 4. I also did Fallout New Vegas, obviously. I live in Las Vegas. For those of you who don't know what Fallout is, it's a computer game based on post-apocalyptic United States. And so there's a TV show coming out on April 11th of Fallout, which I hope they do a good job. I hope they don't do a Lord of the Rings style on Fallout because that would depress me. But there's a Fallout TV show coming on Amazon. And so I ordered some little plastic Fallout dudes because I paint and, you know, used to play Dungeons and Dragons and Warhammer and everything else. So, yeah, I wanted them. So I bought this bag of little characters from Fallout. So I buy them. And, you know, it's always like, who cares? You know, they get delivered, fine, transaction's done, I'm done with you, have a nice day. I get an email through eBay, and I thought that this was the coolest thing because this is, I mean, you talk about customer service. And obviously, they don't do this through eBay. They have to have some other program, maybe like 6-bit, but I don't know. It says, hi, Cash. According to our estimates, your order number, blah, 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 should have reached you by now. How did we do? We're keen to make sure we did a good job. So we would really appreciate it if you could spare a few minutes and leave feedback here. And then they give the link for you to click on to leave feedback. Mm-hmm. Again, thanks for shopping with ebay.com-twink. We hope to see you again soon. Kind regards, the support team at ebay.twink. Hmm. And I thought, wow, this is a really, really cool follow-up. Everybody knows I'm into economics. I'm actually into economics and marketing and business and everything else. And I thought, this is a really, really good email follow-up. And I did click on it, and I did leave them great feedback, and I sent them back a message saying, this is a really great email. I'm going to steal it. But I just thought, you know, from a standpoint of getting your numbers up, and their rating is 33,874. So it's not like my one feedback matters. But it's just something that marketing is everything. And in eBay, everything is so unpersonal or impersonal. I'm not an English major.
Right.
This is just, when I saw this, I thought, wow, this is a company that has some good marketing behind it. Hmm. So I was very impressed by that. So Joseph W. suggested that every podcast we talk about something from back of the book. So it came up with the postal notes. Sean, you know what those postal notes are?
Nope. I'm honest.
They are not valid for postage.
Nope. Never were, actually.
Yeah.
You know what they were?
I don't.
Oh. Postal notes are, you know how you can buy money orders today?
Uh-huh.
You can transfer money via the post office. And these postal notes, they were issued on little cards, and you rip half of it off when you redeem it. And it was a way for you to send money to other people. And I forget what the rate on it was, but there's a 90-cent stamp in it. Mm-hmm. So that's if you spend a lot of money. You know, you're sending, I don't know, many hundreds of dollars or something, and they charge you 90 cents. You will find them sometimes, and they come on a little slip, because the left side is torn off, and that's the receipt where the post office gives you the money. And then the right side with the stamp on it is just like your receipt that you got it. So you will find these on little pieces of paper, and it's for transferring money. And so I always thought that was interesting, because over the past, I'm going to say 30 years, the post office has constantly been talking about getting back into the banking industry, where you have postal savings and stuff like that. And this is just one of the things where people who don't have checking accounts back in the World War I period were able to send money via post office to people in other parts of the country. I don't think it was good for overseas. But anyway, that's what postal notes are, the little black stamps. Look them up in the Scott's catalog. And if you want a set, ask Sean, because I think they're like a buck each. anybody have anything else?
Nope.
A short podcast.
Unless you want to say, get well soon, Jim.
Oh, yeah, get well soon. Jim isn't here. He had some blood clots in his lungs. So send him his best wishes. He's on blood thinners right now. He's doing fine. I'm sure he will tell us. He's going to be back next week. So next week he will tell you all about it. Till then, keep collecting.
We need your help. Nothing on the internet is free, including our phone and internet connections. So you can support the podcast by joining the Stamp Show Here Today Club. The cost is $10 for a lifetime membership. Please include your APS member number, as we are an APS-affiliated club. Your support is greatly appreciated. Our brand new spanking address is 5965 Harrison Drive, Suite 6 in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89120.
You left out the word glorious.
Fabulous.
Because you don't put that on the letter.
Oh. Well, you could.
You could, yeah.
You could, yeah.
Well, kids, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Sideshow Mel, Corporal Punishment, Tina Ballerina, Owen from Knot Landing, Miss Donna Mills. Oh, she was a sport. We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this silkworm was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.